Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, the following words. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. This is the text, my dear brother and sister. Last Sunday we heard the command from God to Isaiah, comfort my people. Today, it's still the same speaker, Isaiah. The audience still is the same, the people of Israel, away from home. Right? Us here away from our home get the same message. So the message is a list of things that we have to do, according to Isaiah. He enumerates many verbs. Some people talk about their bucket list, things that they want to do before their journey is run on earth. Well, this would be fine if we would adopt this as our bucket list to do these things. We don't have to do them all, but all have to do them all together. So each one does something, then the whole list will be done. Because God gave diverse gifts to different people. So to each one of us in our station in life, he assigned a lot. He assigned a mission, a task. Let's find what is ours and do it. And then we can truly show the world that we Christians are busy people. We are busy with spreading the good news throughout the world. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. Anointment is important. Anointment in the Old Testament was an endorsement. It was an approval of a thing or of a person. The altar ware was anointed, consecrated to be used in a holy matter. We, until today, talk about christening or baptizing as the anointment of the New Testament. During baptism, God approves of us. He adopts us, and he endorses us. This one is now mine. That's what God says. When he anoints us, we are empowered. We are empowered to do things, and we are given the authority to do things. When we speak in the name of God, things happen, whether we see them happening or not. Things happen because we do them in the name of God. That's the difference from being anointed. Anointing also protects us. Being adopted into God's family, it is as if God put a little plaque on our forehead, property of God. Don't mess with this. David, remember when Saul, who was a nasty king, Saul really became a jerk very fast. And David was running away from him. And David had had several opportunities while Saul was sleeping in a stupor to kill him. And that would have pleased God. But David said, I can't kill somebody that God anointed as king of Israel. Let God take care of him. And in time, God did. So anointing is something rather powerful. To be baptized is something very, very life-changing and empowering. Some people say, yeah, I was baptized at the Old Zion or at Bethlehem and so forth by such and such pastor. The pastor doesn't count in baptism. What counts is God. It is God that through the pastor adopts this person into their family. The place is not important. What is important is that you were baptized. Because you were baptized in the name of the sovereign Lord. Sovereign means nobody above him. That is the God that created you. This is the God that adopts you into his family. The Lord has anointed you at holy baptism. And there is a distinct purpose for each one of these tasks enumerated here by Isaiah. Preach the good news to the poor. They have nothing else going, given the good news. Lord has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Don't ignore those that are suffering. Mind their business. Have compassion, suffering with. That's what compassion means. Suffer with them, with the brokenhearted. Proclaim freedom for the captives. The best thing that a captive can hear is a proclamation of freedom. Well, you know who can free people from their sins. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Tell them that. To comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. When people were down on their luck and in their sorrow, they put ashes on their head to show humility. No, you put a diadem, a tiara on their head with sparkles to make them joyful. Bestow upon a crown of beauty instead of ashes and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. People come close to despair very often, very frequently in their lives. When sin catches up, there is this despair that follows. Well, he took away our sin and carried all our sorrow. The Lord comes and cleanses us completely because he already paid for our sins. So we have our hands full. We live in a target-rich environment for our message. There are 5 billion people around the world that still do not have a relationship with Christ, a personal, trusting, intimate, honest, and true relationship with Christ, a relationship between me and God, not through the church, not through the pastor, direct, one that happens when you are in your car or in the mall or the restaurant or in your kitchen. That is the true faith that God wants us to exercise and to enjoy. This faith is his gift at baptism. And this faith is developed here as you hear more and more of the Word of God. And this faith is exercised in our daily life out there as the Lord presents us opportunities. So we have our hands full. Christians are busy people. Yes, we are. But we don't have to worry about all of these tasks. Just pick one and pick one a person. Actually, the Holy Spirit will lead you to people and give you the opportunity and even the words to say to them. Just do it. So the year of the Lord's favor is a continuous year. It's not only on Judgment Day when he will come to free us all from the burden of life on earth and finally take us home. It is every time a child is baptized or an adult. It's the year of the Lord's favor coming to them. It's the kingdom of God coming to them. This is what we pray about when we say in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God comes by itself, but we pray that it would come to us too. So, daily through word, and then at the end of our life. The year of the Lord's favor happened 3 times in our small congregation in the last 10 days. Jerry Keppert, the year of the Lord's favor has dawned to you. Come home. Jack Dreesen, come home. It's the year of the Lord's favor to you. Evelyn Meister, come home. It's the year of the Lord's favor to you. You see, it keeps coming. So this special year is repeated also at every baptism. In the holy baptism, we learn that Jesus has come to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. That baby in Bethlehem was born with one purpose, to open up the gates back to paradise, to give the angel guarding the door to paradise a break and to stop the flaming sword that is flashing back and forth. He stops that and says, come on in. You belong to me. You belong in heaven. So as we prepare our homes externally by planning meals and putting up decorations and cleaning the house like it's never been cleaned during the rest of the year, as we cook our meals, let us also clean our hearts and prepare our hearts for the return of Christ in the year of the Lord's favor. Then, when Christ calls us to heaven on that blessed day for each one, we may depart confidently, redeemed and happy, in the knowledge that our mission has been accomplished. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.